From the KTOO Newsroom in Juneau, I'm Yvonne Crumry. Childcare shortages are rampant in remote southeast Alaska. Last Saturday, a community coalition in Petersburg held a forum about childcare shortages in town. Panel members talked about why the shortage is a problem for the whole community. KFSK's Rachel Cassandra has more.
Community wellness specialist Becky Turland moderated a panel in the school auditorium.
We have six people in here that agreed to be on our panels.
The aim was to highlight Petersburg's childcare shortage as a community issue, not just an issue for parents. At the event, SHARE released data from their 2021 Petersburg Childcare Needs Survey. SHARE is a coalition of community members and organizations working towards a healthy community. They received a little over 100 responses to their survey. About a third were childcare workers, and two-thirds were parents and caregivers. According to the survey, 44% of parents and caregivers currently don't work because of a lack of childcare. Jim Floyd is on the Petersburg Planning Commission. He runs Hammer and Weekend grocery and hardware stores. He says childcare affects his many employees.
Groceries are essential, but we can't provide essential services because we don't have our workforce. And daycare or preschool or early child development is a huge part of that equation.
Petersburg has a limited pool of potential childcare employees, and childcare centers have trouble retaining them. Over 2 years, the survey found an 81% turnover rate for childcare workers. The top reasons listed were pay, work environment, and lack of benefits. According to the survey, the average hourly pay for childcare workers is $12.72. That's well below the living wage. According to data from MIT, a living wage in Alaska for people without children is $16.72 an hour. Cami Gillen urged people in Petersburg to reframe their understanding of childcare workers.
Instead of thinking of them as babysitters, as they are teachers, they are professionals, they have done trainings, they spend more time in a day with my children than I do.
Turlin asked panelists why they think early education for ages 0 to 4 doesn't get state or local funding. Rachel Etcher is a school counselor in Petersburg. She said it harkens back to older family structures.
We used to have families be able to be supported on one income, and that is not reality for the majority of people in not just Petersburg, across our nation. And so it used to be that there was one person at home taking care of the children until they were of school age.
Turlin pointed out that the shortage is even harder on single parents.
I know I'm a single parent, and when my children were in there, I relied on it heavily, and it was a struggle to pay for childcare and pay for all the bills at home as well. So
Katie Homeland is vice president of the Petersburg School Board. She referenced the statewide report, Untapped Potential.
So here's another stat. 61% of our low-income families experienced work changes due to their childcare situation, while only 16% of our high-income families experienced that.
Etcher said that early schooling is an important piece of the long-term mental health puzzle for all kids, especially those that experience trauma at home or elsewhere.
When a kid has more relationships with people and those are strong and supportive and they're helping connect kids with other resources or their families with resources, then you're building a stronger support system around that child, and they are going to build resilience and be able to kind of work through that trauma and decrease the chances of mental health concerns.
Homeland is one of the members on Petersburg's Early Childhood Education Task Force. That's a new borough-run volunteer group addressing the local childcare shortage. She said that solutions may look different from what people expect.
As we move into the future here in short-term goals and long-term planning, that community members keep an open mind about re-envisioning some use of spaces and program structures as well. And Petersburg sometimes is a place where, oh, this is how we've always done things. It's not working right now for childcare, so big ideas are going to happen.
Several borough assembly members were present at the forum. Turlin urged people to see childcare as a way to shape the future of Petersburg. Reporting in Petersburg, I'm Rachel Cassandra.
SHARE made a film about the childcare shortage. It will be released on social media. and Untapped Potential is Alaska's report on childcare's impact on the state workforce and economy. You can find it on uschamberfoundation.org. Wildlife officials in Metlakatla continue to trap record-setting numbers of the invasive crab species that threaten local subsistence food sources and fish habitat. As KRBD's Reagan Miller reports, the tribe's Department of Fish and Wildlife has trapped hundreds of European green crabs, but the numbers keep growing.
Months after the first green crab shell was found on the beach in Metlakatla, the community is still trying to figure out how to handle the arrival of a species that officials call one of the most invasive around. They're known to destroy fish habitat, eat other shellfish, and compete for vital resources. Dustin Winter directs the tribe's Department of Fish and Wildlife. He says his department is doing all it can to keep up as the numbers soar. And as of now, that means trapping as much as possible.
I mean, right now we're just trying to do it internally as much as we can. It's definitely increased the workload for the department. But right now there isn't any real long-term plans as far as moving forward other than what we're doing. I mean, we're going to try to keep those traps in the water in Tamgus Harbor and in other locations as we monitor those areas too. But short-term goals is just keep the traps in the water in Tamgus.
But so far, that hasn't seemed to put a dent in the population. Officials trapped a record 62 crabs on October 4th. That's a record for a single-day haul that broke the standing record of 38, set just the day before. And wildlife monitors found another 55 the day after, according to Metlakatla's mayor. Winter says Tamgus Harbor has turned into a hotspot for the crabs.
Well, it's pretty concerning for us. I mean, we were going from single digits to, you know, we had a record of 11 last week and then 13 at the end of the week. And then this week we've got, you know, a one-day catch of 38 and the next day of 62. So it's very concerning.
Wildlife officials have been setting shrimp pots to catch the crabs.
They're real fine mesh. I think they're only like a half-inch mesh. So, because the juvenile crab that we're catching at the beginning were pretty small, so the shrimp pots are working really well.
When they're caught, wildlife officials collect biological information and freeze them. Once the crabs are dead, they're tossed into the compost pile at Metlakatla's community garden. Communities across the Pacific Northwest and the country have struggled to fight the spread of invasive green crabs. Most efforts have focused on trapping as many as possible. Washington Governor Jay Inslee declared an ongoing state of emergency in January because of the crab invasion across the state. Chase Gunnell is a public information officer for Washington's Fish and Wildlife Department. He says the crabs have been around the state for more than 20 years, but they've recently spiked to concerning levels in the Puget Sound and Salish Sea.
We, at this point, have removed more than 170,000 European green crabs from Washington waters this year alone.
He says trapping is the only technique that Washington has used against the crabs.
And our focus is really boots in the mud, getting traps out there, helping to to coach the public on how to identify European green crabs so they can report them. But our focus is on population control through trapping.
But he says he doesn't think wildlife authorities will be able to exterminate the species.
We are very concerned about potential impacts on our native species, on aquaculture, and we want to do everything we can to control this invasive species. At least in Washington, we don't expect that we'll be able to eradicate them, that we know that they're here. We're not going to be able to remove all of them from our waters.
Further down the coast, wildlife officials are trying to make the crabs an attractive target for fishermen. In Oregon this summer, officials raised the recreational bag limit of the crabs to 35. That's to try and stop crabbers from throwing any green crabs they catch by accident back into the water to avoid fines. There are even a few recipes floating around Oregon's government website. And some have tried even more creative solutions. A distillery in New Hampshire is turning the creatures into crab-flavored whiskey. Officials are asking Alaskans in Metlakatla and elsewhere to keep an eye out for green crabs. European green crabs are the only species in Alaska that has three bumps between its eyes and five spines behind each eye. Winter says that anyone who thinks they've seen a green crab, dead or alive, should contact Metlakatla's Fish and Wildlife Department. Anyone who spots European green crabs outside of Metlakatla is encouraged to call the Invasive Species Hotline at 1-877-INVASIVE. Reporting in Ketchikan, I'm Reagan Miller.
In Juneau, it's currently 53 degrees and sunny. Tonight, there is a 30 to 60% chance of rain and a low of 48 degrees. This weekend, heavy rain is expected. You're listening to KTOO.